We have what, 5 months and 3 weeks to go till it changes again? No, amen. I think they try to pass legislation to keep it one way or another. You know, whatever. But amen. Brody and Clarissa, why don't y'all come on up? Amen. Amen. I appreciate this couple. I don't know yet. That's bad. Amen. I appreciate this couple. They're about to move into their new home. Amen. God has been faithful to them. I tell you, I appreciate this couple. I married this couple. And things just get better and better, it seems like. I don't know. Amen. But the reason I had them come up is I know Wednesday they're going to Bogalusa, Louisiana. And they have been going once a month for the last
year and a half.
And how long of a drive is that? Three hours to come back. You might say, what are they going to do? They go to it's called a Wood Lake Recovery Center. And they have one in Abbeville. They have one in a few other places. But that one has been open to them because they know the lady that's in charge or that's over it. And so they go once a month, and they hand out Bibles that we're purchasing for them. It's Bibles that we get from Jimmy Swaggart and stuff that really helps them to understand what they're reading, okay? Amen. Not just trying to read it and saying, I don't understand this, throw it to the side, you know? But, last month was the first month that we were able to give that to y'all, and they really enjoyed it from what I understood. But you know what? I want us to pray for them. And also, you know, it takes time and it takes money. Because sometimes he has to miss work because it takes so long to get there. And sometimes he has to sleep overnight and all that stuff. And what I'm just telling you is this. If you would like to help them anyway, do it. Do it. You can pass it through the church just so we know. If not, hand it to whatever you want to do. What I'm saying is this. They're going as really out of obedience to the Lord, but an outreach from our church to help these people that are on drugs. I mean, illegal, well, whatever. I mean, all kinds of addiction. You know, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, what other stuff? That's all kinds of stuff. And, you know, and I know, you know, Brody knows because he came from that. And he just celebrated last Monday, was it? Because we got together Sunday. But it was the Monday, 5 years of being free from all of that stuff. 5 years. And let me tell you, 5 years. And I'm sure it wasn't easy. But they go, and they tell them, it's not AA that's going to help you. And I'm not saying downgrading AA. Hey, look, it's not anything of the world. But let me tell you this. It's only Jesus Christ and him crucified and what he did at Calvary's cross that he can take them out of those drugs and take out the desire for those things. Only God can do that. And so they go and they preach the gospel. It's an AA meeting. They have to kind of, but y'all preach the gospel to them and tell them the answer. And so, you know, I want to pray with them because it does take time and it takes money, it takes whatever. But if you'd ever want to help them, I want you to be available to do that if you want to. If God puts that upon your heart to help them in any way, okay? You know, it takes gas, they have to eat. You know, we can't let them go out there and starve. So they have to eat and they probably have their favorite places to go stop and eat. You know how that is. But that's okay. But I tell you, 5 years of recovery, and you know, I don't say you are a former addict. God has delivered you. Not anymore. 5 years, and let me tell you, in those 5 years, look what God can do. God brought back all his children. They all live with him. The three boys that you see, because they were taken away, and they were living with grandparents and all that stuff. And they now have a new child, and they're married. And now they're going into a new home. That's what God can do. That's what God can do. That's what God can do. Praise the Lord. So if you would, stretch forth your hands, and let's pray with them. Father, we just come before you this day. And Lord God, I pray a mighty anointing upon both of them, Lord God, as they go Wednesday, Father. And Lord God, I pray a mighty move of your Spirit that people would be saved and filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. That the anointing of the Spirit of God would go before them and pave the way for them. That these people would be open to the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord. That they would see there is hope where there seems to be no hope. But Father, you give the hope to them. Lord, I pray that you would tune up their spirits unto the Holy Spirit, Lord God. And that, Father, you would give them things to say and do that would astound these people, Lord. And as they speak, that you would take their words and imprint it upon their hearts, Lord, and upon their lives, that change will come about, Father, and the anointing of the Spirit of God would be with them. Lord, protect them as they go and come, Father, and be with them and supply everything they need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Appreciate you guys. Yeah. Amen. You. It's good to see Mr. Sheldon's back. Yes. Amen. 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 Mr. Sheldon, why don't you come on down? I want to pray with you. Yes. Look, come on. Look, he's like, you know, you might say this is a miracle. Because I know he hadn't been at church in a couple of weeks, but they said any longer he wouldn't have lasted. They took fluid off of his chest, a liter of fluid, and he had a lot of body fluid, and there's all kind of stuff they need to do. But let's pray the Spirit of God and healing upon this man. If you would stretch forth your hand, please. Because you see, the power of God. Father, your word says to anoint the sick, and they shall recover, Lord God. And Father, we do as your word says. And Lord God, we pray a mighty move of the Spirit of God upon him. Lord, we pray total restoration and total healing in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray the prayer of faith of healing of the lungs, healing, Lord God, of the heart, healing of all the body parts in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Touch him, Lord God, and heal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I tell you, I appreciate this guy. I told him, I said, you know, I mean, really, and I'm being serious. They said another couple of weeks and probably wouldn't be here. But I said, you know what that means? That God's not finished with you yet. There's a lot of things that God wants to do. Just like Mr. Greg. Huh? An intervention. And God saved his life. And we probably could all go through all kinds of stuff where we saw an intervention of God. But amen. Lord, use him at will in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, brother.
Amen. You're welcome. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? I tell you, praise and worship was so good. I just, my Lord, you know, my Lord. Thank you, Father. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Verse 8. Amen, amen. Let's take our Bibles, put your finger where it goes, and let's lift up the word. Say this, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. It's always good to remember God's goodness. It's always good to remember his faithfulness. It's always good to remember his protection. It's always good to remember the price that Jesus had to pay for us. You might say, had to? Well, because the Father wanted him to do it. And so he did it willingly. Gave and laid down his life for us. We need to remember those things. Don't ever forget that God loves you. That's a hard thing for people to really let it sink in. That God loves you. because in society that we have been rejected maybe by some people and hurt by others and whatever else, but loved by some, thank the Lord, that we have a hard time maybe receiving the love of God upon in our hearts and in our lives. But always remember, the Word says so, and what the Word says is truth. He loves you. No matter what you think of yourself, He loves you and how you are. Now, that doesn't mean that God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't want to change things on the inside of us. And that's good, because we need a lot of change. God has to do things in us to make us into what He desires and wants us to be, like His Son, Jesus Christ. But never forget the goodness of God, His protection, His love towards us, His grace, His mercy, His power. Don't ever limit God on the things that He can do. You might say, well, yeah, but you don't know my kids, and you don't know the circumstances, and you don't know this. Look, let me tell you, there's nothing too difficult that God cannot do or help you with. All God is looking for people of faith to believe Him. Believe Him for the big. Believe Him for the small. Believe Him for whatever God puts upon your heart. Because we serve a mighty God. Mighty is He. Mighty is He. Walk around your house and say, mighty is my God. He shall supply all my needs. Mighty is my God. He can do all things. Mighty is my God. He has given life unto me. Mighty is my God in what He can do and what He wants to do. The power of Almighty God. Letting God do the things that He desires. It's good to remember our salvation, how He radically saved your life, saved you on the inside, that spirit man finally coming back to where it needed to be with God the Father. Remember your salvation. Remember how He saved you. Remember how you felt when you first gave your life to the Lord and said, Father, I've made a mess of things, but Lord, I lay down my life before You, and I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I will do whatever You want me to do. I was talking to somebody last week. We had gone eat somewheres and whatever at the dinner table. We were all just talking there in that restaurant, and I remember the statement she said. She said, from the time that God started to convict her to the time that she gave her life to the Lord was probably about a week or so in that area, as far as what was happening in her life. And she said she waited a week because she said she knew that if she gave her life to the Lord, there was no turning back. That's a radical salvation. That there was no turning back at all. That she was going to pay the price and give her life. If she was going to do that, she would never turn back from God, no matter how she felt or what she went through. How many people you and I know that because of a little difficulty, maybe because of a little answer to prayer that God didn't answer in the right way, that they turned themselves from God and is now not serving God at all? But we need to realize this, when we gave our hearts to the Lord, that we are to give it to Him and let Him do what He wants to do when He wants to do it. Radically saved by the power of Almighty God. And she went back that Sunday and said, I'm giving my heart to the Lord. This is it. I will do it. And I will never turn my face from Him. That doesn't mean you won't go through things. But you always have a partner with you and a God who knows the future. What's the worst thing that can happen to a Christian? They die? And be with our Savior? So, you know, we just say we serve our God and do what we have to do no matter what. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The gift of God. For by grace are you saved. You see, it was the grace of God, unmerited favor towards an undeserving people. Unmerited. We didn't earn anything. We couldn't earn it. He gave us grace. He gave us grace because He loved us. Your goodness and my goodness mean zero to the Lord. When he looks at us, he doesn't look at our goodness, God the Father. You know what he looks at? He looks at the blood of Jesus that has covered our hearts, covered our lives, and that's who he sees. Because we are made in the image of our God. We are made in the image of the triune God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Giving us grace, giving us mercy. For by grace have you been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is nothing of us, but it is a gift of God unto us. And it is a gift to whoever will receive it.
Amen.
Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. So we can rest assured we have 100% guarantee that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord as a free gift unto the human beings, unto humanity, they shall be saved. So look, yes, amen, hallelujah, that whenever you pray with somebody, they shall be saved. When you pray in salvation with them, it's not a matter, well, maybe so, maybe not, walking on eggshells. No. We have an assurance with our God that when we pray with people, that he is in the midst of us. It says, whoever shall gather together, two or three. You pray with somebody, that's two. The Holy Spirit is there, that's three. Which he represents the triune God, so that makes it five. Praise God Almighty. That you have an assurance that you're not walking on your own, but God is with you, you and I, doing the work of the ministry of what he's called us to do. Look, there's a ministry out there. There are people out there that need God, every one of them.
Yes, amen.
And they need to hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. That he died for them and is willing to give them victory in every area of their lives. See, the issues of life, we've all been saved, as far as I can see, given our hearts to the Lord. But sometimes the issues of life gets rough. Huh? Gets rough. But God said he will never leave us or forsake his people. Never. We have an assurance, people, that he will never leave us or forsake us. He dealt with us before we got saved. He saved our souls when we called upon him. We gave our lives to him. Now we are children of the living God. We can rest assured in him as we put our faith and our trust in him that he will lead us and he will guide us and he will help us and we will go through the fire like that song. I could have sang that song two or three more times, I think. Through the fire. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. Through the fire. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. Let's get through the fire and let's get to the promised land, Lord. Let's get through the Red Sea into the promised land. I don't want to walk around in the desert for 40 years and let a generation die. But let's get to the promised land of our God and our Lord and our Savior. We don't have to wait to get into the promised land when he comes back for us, either through the rapture or we die and go be with him. But we can enter the promised land of his promises here upon the earth today. They are for us today. We can have what God says in his word because he meant what he said when he wrote it down or when the men of God penned it down in scripture, moved by the Holy Ghost. See, we can have those things no matter what. The gift of God. So let me say you this. The gift of God, salvation, is only because of him and not because of us. Amen. Oh me, oh my, huh? It's nothing of us. We just accepted what he did. We just accept what he did. Amen. Look at this. John 14:6. Another great scripture says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Hallelujah. page 1880, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He has the power to change you then. He has the power to change you now. Ooh. Remember your salvation, who you were before that. Remember the day that you got saved. How maybe light you felt, how you, the burden of sin was taken off of you. I mean, it was like you just felt like a feather just thrown in the wind. No weight anymore. He had the power to change you then when you got saved and gave your life to the Lord. He still has the power to change you today. As we trust Him, as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and work in our lives, letting the anointing of the Spirit of God break the yokes of bondages. The church, you might think, well, you know, after you get saved, there's no more bondages. The church sometimes has bondages. People, I'm talking about people. And we need to allow the Spirit of God to move and break those bondages. And let me tell you, the only bondage breaker there is Jesus Christ. But is what He did at Calvary's cross. The cross, through the blood of Jesus. You might say, well, will fasting break the chains of bondage? Well, let me throw this at you. Remember when Jesus was upon the earth? He walked 33 and a half years. And didn't He fast for 40 days and 40 nights? If that could have broken every bondage for humanity today, He wouldn't have had to die upon the cross. When I read that, it's like it blew me away. You're reading the scripture, and I said, oh, God. Now, hey, fasting is good. Fasting is good. I fast every week. No one knows, but I do. Because I want to get closer to Him. I want to know His voice. I want to know Him. I want to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to deny myself those things of food. And let me tell you this. In the scripture, I can only tell you what the scripture says. Fasting is only about food. Yes. Nothing else. Now, and let me tell you, food is important. And that's a tough one. But let me tell you, and you hear all kind of preachers saying all kinds of stuff about fasting and whatever. But I've never read anything in the scripture other than food talking about fasting. So I have to follow what the scripture says. I have to follow what the scripture says. If you can find it, please show me. I'm serious. But I've only seen fasting in food. That's all. And that's a hard thing to break, you know, to fast and deny yourself that just for a little bit, to go and seek God on behalf of someone else or for yourself, whatever it is. It's only the cross of Calvary that can break the issues of life and the bondages that so easily beset the children of the living God. The children of the living God. Now, I want you to turn, if you would, to John chapter 7, page 1860. Verse 53. But before I read that scripture, here He's talking to Pharisees. He's talking to officers. And He's in Jerusalem, and He's in the temple. And the temple He's talking in is called, it was called, you know, remember at first they had Solomon's temple? That was destroyed by fire and all that stuff. And they built another temple called the Second Temple. And so they were in that temple, and He was there talking with all the people that were there, the Pharisees, which were the religious leaders, and the citizens there that were there. And they were just coming against our Lord and Savior. They were trying to, they heard how he preached, and they heard him preaching, and they knew that what he was saying was not in line with what they were saying to the people. And so they were trying to find ways, and we know that. They were trying to find ways for 3.5 years when he started preaching to try to encamp him or try to entrap him or try to destroy him in any way that they could. Trying to, but we know our God and Lord and Savior was not going to be destroyed by them. And so here he gets to the place of verse 53, and he says this as he's preaching to them. And even Nicodemus came upon the scene. You remember Nicodemus, the guy that in John chapter 3, he was in that total of all these men. Now, he was a good one because he loved the Lord. And it says, every man went into his own house. And Jesus had no house to go in. When I read that scripture, I mean, you know, you read the scriptures and you just kind of, okay, and you, but sometimes when you're reading some scripture, you just, your heart breaks sometimes. Because this is the Savior of the world. This is God in the flesh, incarnate God in the flesh. And here we see he's talking to them, they trying to get him, they trying to entrap him, and they trying to do whatever they could to ensnare him. He tells them the truth of the gospel. Then, you know, it's finally to break up after being in the temple. They all go to their homes. And Jesus is just left there with no home to go to. It doesn't say that anybody even invited him. So it says that he went to a place called the Mount of Olives. Or Mount Olivet. Anybody heard of that? Yeah, I know you did. Mount Olivet. And it says that this was a place where olive groves would grow. God bless you. Man, that was something you needed. I know how that is. God bless you. See, you just say, amen, I received those blessings of the Lord. Amen. But he went to the Mount of Olivet, which was close, and he was there by himself. It doesn't say so much what he did, but I'm sure he prayed, he sought the Lord. Because, you know, he slept there. He was in the groves. That's where the olives would grow and all this stuff. And that's where we know that he ascended. You remember that? When he was here after he passed away on the cross, he rose from the grave. And it says for 40 days that he roamed the earth. And during those 40 days, he was at the Mount of Olivet is when the disciples, some of them, saw him ascend into the heavens. Also, the beginning was there of that. Also, when he comes again at the second coming, not the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church, he won't put his foot upon the earth. The second coming of Christ, he will put his foot upon where? Mount Olivet. That's right. At the second coming. So there's an ascension and a descension from our Lord and Savior at that point. So, I wish one day I could go see it. All the olive groves, that from what I understood in reading, that they are not there anymore. But that's what it was then. You know what's there now? No, yeah. You'd want to say a big parking lot or a garage or something. There are graves there. For over 3,000 years, it's a cemetery. With about 150,000 graves there. Can you imagine what's going to happen when he comes and puts his foot down upon that place? When we are right behind him at the second coming, people, we are with him. The first one, we're not. The second one, we are. From the scripture. But can you imagine? Now it's a grave site. Graves. At least 150,000 graves are there. But when he comes back, look what will happen. Praise the Lord. He comes out of the grove of the olive trees, and he goes back into Jerusalem. And here we see something happen. And I want to read, starting with verse 1 of chapter 8. It says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. That's the second temple, okay? Not Solomon's temple, the second one that was built. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Such a hunger. Praise the Lord. And the scribes, and you know, we need to be that way. We need to let God teach us. Take time with the Lord, people. Sit down with him every day. Let him speak into your life through his word or through the Spirit of God that's in you. God speaking to you. Let him speak to you. Because he knows how to handle all the issues of life. We don't. We don't. If you have all the answers, please stand up. So we can stone you. No. No. And I know you don't. But we know the one that has the answer to the issues of life, to the things that come about. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Get with him. Verse 3, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. It's the same people in that other chapter of 7. It's basically the same ones that tried to entrap him. Said, overnight, they thought about how can we get to Jesus? How can we show him that he is, show the people he's not God. He's not the Son of God. He's not Lord and Savior. Jesus went through a lot of stuff. And he did that for you and I. You know, Jesus could have stayed next to the Father at the right hand of the Father and just stayed there and said, let them do what they want to do. Let them bring destruction upon themselves. Let them destroy themselves, humanity. Because even with an intervention from God, still humanity wants to destroy themselves. Look what they're doing and look what they're where we're going. But for God, stepping in and changing things. And it says, verse 3, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Now, you might say, well, what they're saying is truth. And because of the Mosaic law, because of those things in the Old Testament, she is to be stoned. Now that would be a horrific death. That's like one stone after another being thrown at you, hits you all over, and you die a slow death. That's slow. Like when Stephen was killed. Slow. That even Paul held the coats of the people as they killed him. Not knowing what God would do in that man's heart. I wonder if Steve said, Lord, get Saul, get Saul, get Saul, get Saul. God still answers prayer, people. God still, he's on the throne and he's still answering prayer. He's still answering your prayers because we are children of the living God. Don't think just because you live in wherever that God doesn't answer prayer. God is still on the throne, and God still wants to answer the prayers that you pray before him continuously. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And here they bring this woman caught in adultery and saying, the law says stone her. And he's saying, yes, you're right. You're right. And they thought, we got him. Probably every one of us have been in situations where people have tried to entrap us. Come on, people. But if it wasn't for God giving us the wisdom of his word and showing us what to say and wisdom by the Spirit of God, we would have been entrapped. But you see, God intervenes somehow, some way, and tells us and shows us what to do. That's the power of Almighty God. That's the power of Almighty God. You see, you as a child of God, you're in the palm of God's hand. Satan can't take you till God says it's time for you to die physically. He can't do it. Because he has no authority and no right to take anything from the children of God. And in fact, God says if he takes something from you, he has to repay you 7 times. Amen. It's time for him to come up and divvy up what he owes the church of the living God. Because he has stolen from you and I, and stolen from you and I, and we have to take that position in commanding him to bring it back at least 7 times.
Amen.
Amen. From souls to money to marriages to children to everything upon this earth that he's stolen from the church, the body. When I say the church, I mean the body of Christ. And it's time for him to pay back up, and he doesn't like to be paid up. He's a liar and a thief. And he's stolen from the church too long. And God is saying, church, stand up. And take your rightful position. As we take our rightful position in Christ, we can command him by the power of Almighty God, not in ourselves, but in the power of Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross to pay back 7 times what he stole from us.
Amen.
Everything. Stand up, people. You might say, well, how do I do that? You get in your room. You get in your house by yourself. You make a list of things that the devil has stolen from you, from your health to healing to souls to money to whatever it is. Make a list and say, Lord, don't let me forget anything.
Amen.
And you pray to the Lord and you say, Father, I'm coming to you, and I'm commanding my enemy, which is your enemy, old Slewfoot, to pay back sevenfold what he stole from me, what he stole from the church, what he stole from this family or that family or my brother or my sister. And I command him by the power of Almighty God that he has to give it back.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
It's time for us to stand up, people.
He's
stolen our government. He's stolen our presidents. He's stolen our officials. And they're all a bunch of... I won't say it. We need an intervention from God. We can claim it back, people. We can claim it back. Stand up and do what God wants you to do. Don't be lazy, okay? In the spiritual things of God. Don't veggie out on the couch. Spiritually, I'm talking about. There's nothing wrong physically. Every once in a while, we need a little R&R. I'm talking about spiritually. Say, Lord, build me up. Build me up. There's no retirement in the kingdom of God spiritually. I'm not talking about positions. Positions come and go. But I'm talking about in the kingdom of God. There's no retirement, people. There's an ever-pressing a prayer and intervention by the Spirit of God and from the people of God continuously. Don't let the devil steal from you. Don't let him take your family. Don't let him take your job. Don't let him take people that you love. Don't let him take your community. Don't let him take anything from you. Because you know if he's trying to take something from you, he's up to no good. No good. And you know what? Most of all, don't let him take you.
Amen.
Come on, y'all should have shouted then a little bit more.
Amen.
I'm messing with y'all. Don't let him take you. Don't let him take your mind. Don't let him take your spirit. Don't let him take your soul. Don't let him take it. Because he's trying to ruin or destroy your grace and your faith in God. And if he can destroy your faith, he can take you at will. But always keep your faith. You might have to bend your knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's okay. Just keep bending it, because that's when you're more powerful than ever before. That's the kind of God we serve. You fall down, you mess up, get up.
Amen.
Go to God. Repent of your action. Repent of those things. And ask God to save your soul again and to forgive you, and that the grace of God would be upon your heart and soul. God says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty, great and mighty, great and mighty things. That's the power of Almighty God. There's no limit to our God. No limit. We had people tell us we'd never last. I said, well, that's you. But I know what God said. Never put your faith in people. Put your faith in Christ. God says, love people. That's what we have to do. Love them. That doesn't mean we accept everything, but we love people. That's the power of Almighty God. Let's finish the story. Look at verse 6. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. It was a trap. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he who is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. I'm sure that hit to the core of their hearts, huh? The King of Kings telling them this. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those your accusers? Has no man condemned you? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus took it in his own hands. Do you think he was at the right place at the right time, even though they were trying to entrap him? They didn't realize who they were messing with. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All he did, they said, this is what should be done, stoning. Yes, he said, you're right. And he stooped down and he just started writing in the dust there or the sand that was there. And it said, from the oldest or the eldest to the youngest, they started to depart. And I'm sure Jesus, they said he didn't look up. He just kept writing with his finger. He didn't condemn the lady. He just kept writing. And we don't know what he wrote. We don't know what he wrote, but he wrote something, buddy, that got a hold of these people, these guys here. And one by one, they looked. He might have wrote their name and never know what else. And they started just to leave. And all of a sudden, he looks up. And it's only him and her. And he says, where are your accusers? They're not here. Go in peace. Neither I accuse you. Go and sin no more. And we can read in the scripture, she gave her heart to the Lord. Things come against the child of God. But as we stay in the palm of his hand, there's no demon in hell, no person upon the earth that can take you from the palm of God's hand. When he wrote in that sand, he was saying, my blood is sufficient for her. My blood is sufficient for you too. No telling what else was being written. We don't know. And she was guilty. She was guilty, yes. Look, we are guilty of sin.
Yes.
We are. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Every one of us. We're living in a fallen state. But the power from the cross of Calvary can subdue that sin nature on the inside of us as we put our faith and trust in him. He can make it dormant. That's the only one that can do it. That's the only one. As we accept what Christ did at Calvary's cross. The answer for the church is Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Remember your salvation, how he saved your soul. Remember that. But also remember that now that the issues of life and things are coming up because things happen to us, we still turn to the cross of Calvary. We still turn to the cross of Calvary. We still turn to the blood of Jesus that can save our souls and help us to overcome those things. Only in Christ can we be overcomers. Only in Christ are we overcomers because of what He has done. Remember, God said to the Laodicean church, neither be hot or cold. You know, be hot or cold. I'm sorry. Be hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm. Be lukewarm. It's an amazing statement. An amazing statement. We need to let the power of God move in us like we've never seen before. We need to let God help us to overcome things in our lives, people. Come on now. Come on now. Let Him help you. Let Him look to Him. A book by so-and-so down the road won't help you. I'm not saying there's not some good books written by men, but I tell you what, the only book that is almost worthy to be read is that book that's on your lap or that I have on my pulpit. That's the power of Almighty God. There's nothing wrong with reading good books, whatever. But I tell you what, you want a life change? It will show you. Read in Romans how God can change your life and take out those issues. He can make it. He can make you not even desire those things. That's only God. That's only God. God says be either hot or cold. You know why He told that to Laodicean church? Because they were Christians. They were Christians. I was reading up on it, and I heard somebody say something about a stream of water and stuff. In the Laodicean village, I'm about to close, or city, they would pump in their water. There was a hot water spring well miles away, and they would pump it in through pipes and bring it into the city. When it left that spring miles away, it was hot. Anybody ever been to hot springs? I know we did. They have the hot water coming from the ground and you don't even know. They just cap them off, and there's a few of them they let. It's just amazing how it's just, and when it's winter or kind of cold, you can see the steam. I mean, just steam. And it's amazing because there's not a hot water heater down there, you know. Something in the crevice of the earth, and you know, there's certain things that keeps it hot. Well, they would pump in their water. They lay out a sea in church from this spring of water that was hot. But because it came miles, miles, miles to them, by the time they got to them, it was what? Lukewarm. But that's close. Lukewarm. So when He told this church that, they knew what He meant. Either be cold or hot. But don't be lukewarm. Ooh. Don't be lukewarm in Him. You might say, well, what do you mean to be hot? That means your heart and your attitude and your life is towards Him. What He did at Calvary's cross. The only victory for the church. The only victory for the church. If all the other programs could do it, the church body wouldn't be in the place that it's in today. But God is bringing it back around. That is the cross, people. And the only thing. The only thing. The only thing. So you see, we need to be hot towards God and letting the power of Almighty God move at will and do what He wants to do. Okay, y'all ready to stand? Yeah. You want to say, Pastor, thank you, Lord. Y'all stand.